This is an address entitled Man, God Sustained by William D. Kilpatrick, a teacher of Christian Science. This is his association address of 1944. The little overcomings in our daily lives are the things which bear fruit and enable us to meet the greater problems when they arise. Always remember that God takes care of the goal. Our work is to take care of the pathway leading thereto. The pathway is the preparation we make in our daily consecrated devotion to truth. Truth is its own impulsion, and leads mortals to heights which the human mind cannot encompass. Man is an ideal. He is not only idea, but he is an ideal. That ideal is maintained in and by mind. This is a most important feature to be considered in connection with your work in Christian Science. It is a concept which, if understood clearly in its spiritual import and applied to yourself or your patient, will entirely remove from your consciousness any sense of self-sufficiency, self-support, or self-importance. It will remove any sense of self-responsibility, authority, and independence, and will enable you, without reservation, to shift the government to his shoulders, which, in itself, is one of the greatest sources of healing, happiness, and contentment. The whole fabric of mortal existence, as seen from the standpoint of human thinking, consists of the belief that man is separate and apart from God, that he is an independent worker, that he is forever on his own, and that his whole existence must be governed and regulated by a human mind which belongs to him and which is subject to all sorts of limitations, incapacity, and influences over which he himself has no control. The mortal mind, or human consciousness, with which each individual is possessed, and which is the so-called governing influence of his existence, is the avenue through which all human limitations come to mankind. It is supposed to be governed by the laws of heredity, the influences of education, the impressions of material environment, hypnotic suggestion, clairvoyance, etc. Nothing in the whole gamut of mortal existence but comes to us through the human consciousness. If you sometime will take your concordances and look up all that Mrs. Eddy has given us on the human consciousness, or, to use her other expression, the human mind, you will be surprised to see to your own satisfaction that everything that is to be accomplished through Christian Science for the salvation of mortals has to do exclusively and entirely with the regeneration of the human consciousness, or human mind. Of course, in the absolute, God knows nothing about the human consciousness or the human mind. For that very reason, you and I have got to know about it, what it claims to do for and with mortals, and how to accomplish our freedom from those influences of evil which operate through the human consciousness. In fact, the very basis of healing in Christian Science has to do exclusively with the human consciousness. Healing has nothing to do with sickness, with matter, with the human body, with material symptoms, exposure, contagion, germs, etc. Healing in Christian Science has exclusively to do with the so-called human consciousness. And to ignore that human consciousness in your contemplation and explanation of Christian Science in its application would be like ignoring the science of numbers in the explanation of mathematics. It is only through the human consciousness or mind that the Christ finds expression. Mrs. Eddy tells us, and your own understanding of Christian Science tells you, that the human body exists only in the human consciousness and as a manifestation of the human consciousness. If that is so, then a regeneration of the human consciousness is all that is necessary to heal the body. If the human body is the objectified manifestation of the individual human consciousness, then all of the ills of the human body must be the manifestations of that same individual consciousness. When the individual human consciousness is healed of its belief of sickness, then the human body, which is the objectified manifestation of that human consciousness, is relieved of the belief of sickness, and thus we have what Mrs. Eddy terms a better belief. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy writes, quote, "Sometime it will be learned that mortal mind constructs the mortal body with this mind's own mortal materials." Close quote. She also says in Science and Health, quote, "Healing the sick and reforming the sinner are one and the same thing in Christian Science. Both cures require the same method and are inseparable in truth. Hatred, envy, dishonesty, fear, and so forth make a man sick, and neither material medicine nor mind can help him permanently, even in body, unless it makes him better mentally and so delivers him from his destroyers." Close quote. And she also says in Science and Health, quote, "Consciousness, that is, individual human consciousness, constructs a better body when faith in matter has been conquered. Correct material belief by spiritual understanding, and spirit will form you anew." Close quote. She tells us, quote, "The human mind is all that can produce pain. As a man thinketh, so is he. Mind is all that feels, acts, or impedes action. Ignorant of this, or shrinking from its implied responsibility, the healing effort is made on the wrong side, and thus the conscious control over the body is lost." Close quote. Just as man in the image and likeness of God includes his universe, so mortal man includes his universe in the human consciousness. As we have so often explained, the human consciousness or the human mind accepts or takes to itself the suggestions of a carnal mind, which exists as one mind outside the human consciousness. Now, the human consciousness or mind is just as unreal and untrue as the carnal mind. The divine mind, as we all know, exists as one mind, entirely separate and distinct from the human consciousness. The human consciousness, your and my consciousness, accepts and takes to itself the divine ideas which come to us from the divine mind, and thus do you and I become godlike. Contrariwise, The human consciousness, your and my consciousness, accepts carnal thoughts coming from the carnal mind. These carnal thoughts which we accept into consciousness are, in turn, objectified as matter. Thus does the individual human consciousness include that which is manifest through the senses of seeing, feeling, tasting, smelling, and hearing. So you see, in explaining Christian Science and its operation in human affairs, we first have to deal with the human consciousness which belongs to you and me individually according to human belief. The only mind that you and I possess, until we become conscious of the facts of Christian Science, that is, the only mind which claims to belong to you and me individually is the human mind or the human consciousness. The divine mind exists as one outside our human consciousness, and the carnal mind claims existence as one mind outside the human consciousness. This carnal mind was, of course, not created of God, and hence, in its claim to reality, must have a suppositional existence entirely separate from God. Whence then did it come? The answer to that is that it is simply a fiction of the human consciousness. The human consciousness thinks that there is an outside source from which it receives its erroneous concepts. Therefore, in its last analysis, the carnal mind is a fiction of the human consciousness. The human consciousness was never created of God, no more was the carnal mind. Mrs. Eddy explains this in Science and Health, and shows how the effects of the carnal mind are made possible through the beliefs of the human consciousness. She also says, quote, "If mortal mind knew how to be better, it would be better. Since it must believe in something besides itself, it enthrones matter as deity. The human mind has been an idolater from the beginning, having other gods and believing in more than the one mind. The beliefs of the human mind rob and enslave it, and then impute this result to another elusive personification named Satan." Close quote. So you see that we, you and I, have nothing to handle or correct but our own human thinking. The carnal mind is a fiction of the human consciousness. All healing must come through the regeneration of the human consciousness in which exists our material world. As the human consciousness becomes regenerated, our material world begins to take on an entirely new aspect. The secondary beliefs of sickness, ignorance, poverty, and the like disappear, and the harmonious facts of being become gradually apparent. In the work of healing, the elimination of a material erroneous condition is not the objective. Scientifically speaking, there is no material condition to be met, Mrs. Eddy tells us. But that fact cannot be brought out except through a regeneration of the human consciousness. God knows no error. All error exists in the human consciousness. When the human consciousness, through the operation of truth, becomes divine, the errors of the carnal mind are thus eliminated through the influx of the divine into consciousness. If you realize that material existence, with all of its ills, is the objectified manifestation of the carnal mind operating through the human consciousness, you will then see that the human consciousness purified and spiritualized by the influx of the divine mind, will sooner or later become manifested in a world of harmony and peace. As we all know, salvation must be made in progressive footsteps leading out of materiality and up to the throne of God. The throne of God is the divine enthroned in human consciousness.